Luke 24. We're looking at the tabernacle. This lesson is going to be on the curtains and the walls and the foundation of the tabernacle and the gate. Before we get into this, here's what I want you to see. You're in Luke 24, right? You're in Luke 24. Look at verse number 25. Then he said, Jesus said unto them, the two disciples, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What's it mean when he says he started at Moses? Moses is said to have penned the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now take your Bible. You're there at the end of Luke. Go to John chapter 1. Look over there at verse number 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, watch this, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Let me ask you a question. Now I need you to just listen to me and think, and then we're going to go to Exodus 27. But just listen. If I asked you to show me Jesus and salvation and how to be saved in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, that's Moses, okay? The books of Moses, the law. Where would you take me? Do you realize Jesus took the disciples to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Here it says, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets spake. Okay, let me widen the gamut. If I just said, show me Jesus in the Old Testament and show me how to be saved. You can't use Romans. You can't use Hebrews. You can't use John. If I said, show me in the Old Testament Jesus and how to be saved, where would you take me? You might go Genesis 3, where the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. That's the first prophecy of Jesus dying on the cross. Where else would you go in Genesis? Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Yeshua. Where else would you go? I'm just brainstorming with you right now, because in the New Testament, keep in mind, in Luke and in John, they didn't have Luke and John at that time. It had not been penned yet. So what scriptures did Jesus use to say, that's me? Genesis 21, that's a good picture. Abraham taking his son, God sending his only son. What else? The fiery serpent, Numbers 21. If you're going to say, here's Jesus and here's how you get saved, in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, probably Exodus. Would you take them to Exodus 12, the Passover? Let me show you something. There is probably no bigger picture of salvation in the Old Testament than what we're looking at right now, the tabernacle. There's 50 chapters of it. And remember, four times in your Bible, what we're looking at of the tabernacle is called the tabernacle of witness and the testimony of the tabernacle. It's a witness and testimony of what? Jesus. We'll find out when we get to heaven, but I would be very shocked. And that's what's so sad. We're going to learn about the typology of all the tabernacle and what it represented and how it pictured. And yet, then when you find out, when you witness to a Jew, they don't see it. You mean you do all the feasts and the sacrifices and the rituals that picture Jesus and you don't trust Jesus? Unless a Jew gets saved, they die and go to hell. But they got all this pictures and typology of Jesus all the way around them and they totally miss it. That's what's so sad. That's what's so sad. I think when you read how Jesus took the scriptures himself and said, let me show you where I am and how to be saved, I think he took them to the tabernacle. There's over 50 chapters he could say, see that? See the gold? That's me. See the altar? That's me. See the mercy seat? That's me. See the sacrifice, the bullock, the goat, and the pigeon, and the sheep, and the lamb? That's me. See that, right? That's me. I don't think he skipped the tabernacle and the pictures of himself. So what I'm trying to tell you is, what we're looking at is probably the clearest and biggest picture of salvation in the Bible. Okay? Especially in the Old Testament. Especially in the Old Testament. Now, that's to whet your taste buds. Now go to Exodus 27. Okay? Now go to Exodus 27. And what we're looking at this morning is the court. We're going to work our way from the outside, of the tabernacle in this white linen curtain that went all the way around and how it was here. We're going to look at the fence. We're going to look at the gate, the walls of the tabernacle, and then the foundation of the tabernacle. Looky here at Exodus chapter 27. Look at verse number 9. Exodus 27, 9. Watch this. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle. This is the outside. For the south side, southward. Where's the south? The south would be this end. The tabernacle always faced east. So north is here, south, east, and west. Why? Because Jesus said, as the lightning shineth in the east, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What's this a picture of? The coming of Jesus. What tribe was outside the eastern side of the gate? Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. What tribe did Jesus come from? Judah. Judah. Okay? That's why this was the camp of Judah on the east side with Issachar and Zebulun. Three tribes on this side. Three tribes on this side. Three tribes on this side. Three tribes on the south. So this is the south, west, north, and east side. Judah. Judah was the tribe of Judah was pictured by a lion. Remember, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation, right? So you got a lion. You got Reuben and his standard. They had a man on the standard. That was the picture. Okay, and what was in the camp of Reuben? Simon and Gad. In the camp of Ephraim was an ox. So you got a lion, a man, and an ox. In Dan, the camp of Dan was Asher and Naphtali, and the camp of Dan was a standard or a flag with an eagle. Where else do you see in the Bible a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle? In Ezekiel 1, you find that that's on the face of the seraphim that circled the throne of God. It had a face of a lion, of a man, of a calf or an ox, and the face of an eagle. Then in Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, we won't go through it this morning, but you also see the face of those seraphim with wings that always are in the presence of God with the face of a lion and the face of a man. In the face of an ox, in the face of an eagle. This starts at the tabernacle, and it works its way all the way through the Bible. Can you think with me just for a second? All of this is a picture of Jesus. Matthew shows Jesus as a king, the lion. Mark shows Jesus as a servant, and he immediately went here, and he immediately, and it's the shortest, but it's the book where Jesus he serves. That's the ox, the burden bearer. Luke, the Son of Man. Jesus is called the Son of Man. That's the face of man. His humanity is seen. He's 100% God and 100% man. John, his deity is seen. That's the eagle, flying high and alone. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see the lion, the man, the ox, and the eagle in a picture of Jesus. All the pictures of the tabernacle, all the colors, linen, white is righteousness, blue is heaven and authority, purple is royalty, scarlet is redemption. Four colors, right? White is going to be the picture of the ox, the servant, pure righteousness and servitude. Blue is the picture of the man, okay, heaven's authority. Purple is the picture of royalty. That was the lion. That's the king. And what's the other picture? Scarlet. Jesus. What's the book of John show it? Jesus as our Savior, our sacrifice, our God who died in our place. So the four colors, the four faces, The four, it all ties together. It's all a testimony and a witness of the Savior. Any angle you want to look at it. So here we go. We were looking at verse number 9, and we said here, "And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for one side." 100 cubits. If a cubit is basically elbow to tip of finger, and on a normal sized man, it's about 18 inches. So it's a foot and a half. So 100 cubits is how many feet? 150. 100 cubits, 150 feet. So he said, make one curtain 150 feet long, 100 cubits. And then he said, here, fine twined linen, verse 10, and the 20 pillars thereof and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. Stop. Metal in the Bible. Remember? You're going to see three metals all throughout the tabernacle over and over again. Brass. Brass is a picture of what? Always. It never is different. Silver is always a picture of redemption. We'll look at that more today. And of course, gold is going to be a picture of deity. All right. It was at the time the finest metal in the world at that time. I know they have palladium and all that other stuff that people invest in nowadays, but in the world at that time, gold was the most precious substance, okay? So, here we go. Now it says here, make 20 pillars thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. Look at verse 11. And likewise for the north side, in length there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, so 150 feet, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits. 50 cubits. 50 plus 25 is 75 feet, right? So you got 150 by 75 feet, right? Then it says here, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hanging of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. Now that gets into the gate, so we'll look at the gate here in just a second. So, in looking at the fence, the outer court, you had 20 pillars, and really this picture here is a much better space, 150 feet with 20 pillars paced out. At that end, the west end was 10 pillars. Then at the south end would have been 20 pillars. And then this is the east side. It said there should be three pillars, and then there'll be four here for the gate, okay, which is a total of 10. Right? Just like there's 10 at that end, so you got a 75 feet by 150 feet. Now, it says fine twined linen. And fine twined linen would have been like a cheesecloth. So in other words, it would have little holes in it. And from a distance, you could tell something was going on the other side, but you could see a little bit of movement, a little bit of shadow. It'd be like looking through cheesecloth. All right? And so you can't really make it out, you can't really tell, but what's that linen a picture of? It's a picture of righteousness and separation. And anybody coming up to the tabernacle learns, the first thing they learn is that for me to get into the presence of God, it's not for everybody, and there's only one way in. You can't get in this side, the north, or the south, or the west. There's only one gate. And the purpose of the curtain is 7.5 feet high. 7.5 feet. And so, what's a basketball hoop? A basketball hoop's 8 foot. Most people can't, reach up and grab the, even if you jump, you're just a little bit short. You couldn't see over 7.5 feet. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So it was to remind us we come short of God's perfection. And then what were those pillars a picture of? They were pillars of brass So it was 7.5 feet tall. It had a socket that it rested on of brass. Brass is a picture of judgment. God judges sin. That's the first thing you see when you come up to the tabernacle. And had a fillet. It had a fillet. What's a fillet? A fillet was the bar that went through the curtain, had rings at the top of it. And the fillet was held by a hook up here. And then they ran this through the curtain. And this is what kept the curtain high all the way across, was it hung on the fillet. And that fillet was silver. And this top chapter was of silver. Silver's a picture of redemption. So here's the judgment of God holding up the righteousness of God, that God judges sin and yet there is redemption available. I just can't get in this way. Take your Bible real quick and we're going to come back here to Exodus. Can you go to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Look at verse 10. John 10:1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Jesus said, "Here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Then look here, look at verse number seven. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Look at verse number 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus says over and over again, "I am the door. I am the gate. I'm the only way in to the presence of God." So the fence you first see, you're going to find it in Exodus 27:9, and then through 19. You'll find it in Exodus 38 when it's being built, and all of this is described. One more thing before we get into the gate. All of these posts had a cord that came down on the outside, and it came down on the inside to a pin that was anchored to the ground. Desert. Middle East, wind storms, dust storms, never one mention in 40 years of being in that desert is there any record. It never moved. I'm talking from these curtains to the whole, to the tabernacle itself. It was rock solid. What gave it its stability? The cords and the pins and the anchors. What is it that gives us our security? God's love. God's love. God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. Right? Nothing. Not things present, not things in the past. Nothing can separate us from what gives us our stability. I love this statement. What are the cords of our salvation? There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. You say, "Well, that puts a stamp of approval on sin." No, it doesn't. When you sin, you don't sense the love. But God's love never changes. That's a beautiful statement. You can sin, and that causes your guilt to go up, and then you don't feel like God loves you, but that never changes God's love. Your actions cause you to not sense God's love. But God never stops loving you. And that's, you know, that's the anchor that holds us through the winds and the horrible. And if there's winds in anywhere, it's going to be in the desert. One more thing about this. There's 20 pillars of brass along this, along the north side, the south side. There's 10 and 10. And they're all brass. What does the number 20? You're going to come across the number 20. 20 is the number of redemption in the Bible. You say, "You sure?" Well, this is where a little numerology would be helpful. And if I use the number 20, all right, there's not only 20 pillars on this side of the court, but when you get to the tabernacle, there's 20 boards on either side. Then, if you'll think about this, in the book of Ruth, that's the book in your Bible about the kinsman redeemer. That's a beautiful book, short book in the Old Testament. Boaz's name is mentioned 20 times in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, there's 20 different people. There's 20 characters in the book of Ruth. Jacob labored 20 years in the household of Laban for his wife, Rebekah, to redeem her. Okay, he labored 20 years. In the wilderness, all that had been 20 years old and upward died, right? As they wandered for 40 years. And so those that were 20 and below got to experience the redemption of God for trusting God to go into the promised land once after the 40 years was done. 20 is the number in your Bible of redemption. It is the number. It symbolizes redemption. Okay? Next, if there's 10 here, 10 pillars, 10 pillars, when you get to the tabernacle, there's 8. Okay? So we're looking at 20. What's the number of 10? 10 is the number in your Bible. I've got it written down so I don't forget it. 10 is the number of testimony and law. Testimony. 10, if you'll think about 10 through your Bible, just for a second, think with me. Abraham prayed for how many righteous people to be in Sodom for God to spare it? 10. If there be 10 people. Found, he was two, I think he was one short. One short. There's 10 things. If you count in Romans 8, 38 to 39, there's 10 things that are powerless against the love of God. 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times it's recorded, God said, God said, God said. That's God's testimony, right? That's God's testimony. 10 Psalms begin with hallelujah. There's 10 commandments. 10 is a picture of law and responsibility. 10 servants. We're entrusted with 10 pounds and one was rewarded with 10 cities. 10 vices are listed that will cost you your inheritance in the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 through 10. 10% is the tithe that we're commanded to give. The Passover lamb was taken on the 10th day. The boards in the tabernacle were 10 cubits long. They were 10 high, 15 feet high. All right? And there's 10 linen curtains over the top and 10 pillars on the west end of the court. So there's 10 curtains that lay over this, and we'll get into that later. So 20 is the number of redemption. 10 is the number of testimony. Now let's look at the gate, right? Here we go. Let's go look at the gate. Go to Exodus 27 and look at verse number 16. And you're going to see God's picture here of the gate. God tells us. And for the gate of the court, I'm at Exodus 27 and verse number 16. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework. And their pillars shall be 4, and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of brass. Okay, so he goes on to describe this court. Everything is white except for the gate. This gate here is in this curtain here is held up by 4 pillars. We know that this is a picture of Jesus. The colors, the white of righteousness, the blue, heavenly authority, the purple, the royalty, the scarlet, the picture of redemption. This fine twined linen here is a picture of Jesus. What are the pillars of brass a picture of? 4 pillars that hold up this gate. It's a picture of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Then, the gate was always open. It was never closed to anybody. If you came in, you had to come this way, but it was open just like anybody walking through. To go into the court is a choice that you have to make, like being saved is a choice that you have to make. It was the gate, the curtains were always pulled, okay, up here, and it was pulled here, and they were pulled as far as to the pillars. And so you had these, But you still could walk through. The gate was always open. It was always open. So you could always enter through the gate. And Jesus says, let him that heareth say, come. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So anybody can be saved. Will all people be saved? No. But the invitation's open to all. That's why people will go to hell. Because they could have trusted Jesus as their Savior and they didn't. Do you understand? That's why. All right. So Jesus is a picture of the gate of the tabernacle there. And then now let's look at the walls of the tabernacle. We'll look at the altar and the laver here in a lesson. But let's now go to the tabernacle itself. Go to Exodus 26. Look at verse 15. Look at Exodus 26. And thou shalt make boards of the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. First of all, shittim wood. What is it? It's modern day acacia. Acacia is a tree that is in the desert. Can you imagine a tree that grows under harsh conditions? It would not be pine. It would not be soft. It's a hard wood like oak. And it is brittle also. Carpenters don't like working with it. It's like cedar. Cedar splits a lot. Acacia wood is harder than cedar. They say it's as hard as oak, but it splits easy. But it's very hard because it's raised in the desert under rugged conditions. What's that a picture of? The shittim wood of this pillar of the tabernacle was a picture of the humanity of Jesus. So they're supposed to take this shittim wood, this acacia wood, and they were supposed to make it 10 cubits high, 15 feet high, and it's supposed to be a cubit and a half wide. That's 27 inches, a little over 2 feet wide, that board. Okay, when you deal with like 2x12s and stuff like that, 2x12s are expensive. Can you imagine a board that's over 2 feet wide? Okay. They didn't glue two boards together to make it that wide. They cut it that wide. So you know the tree is at least the trunk of it's at least that wide. So here's a board that's 27 inches wide, 15 feet tall. It's shittim wood. And then let's keep on reading here. Verse number 16, 10 cubits shall be the length of the board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of the one board. Two tenons shall there be in one board. What's a tenon? A tenon is a notch. So the board would be this long with two tenons in it. It doesn't say how thick the board was. It just says there'll be two tenons in the bottom. It says here, two tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. Two sockets under one board for two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. So here's what he says. There'll be two sockets of silver that the tenons of the board fit in. Each socket weighs 50 pounds. That's 100 pounds a board. If there's 20 boards here, 20 boards, 8, and they all have two sockets for the boards to fit in, like this, then each board also you're going to find is going to have three rings on it. So once the boards are put in like this, then bars are going to slide through the boards, through the rings that are attached to the boards. So it's going to hold it this way, and definitely it's going to hold it this way. That's God's design here. And then it says, watch this, it says, verse number, so we've got sockets of silver. I'll get into that in just a second. Look at verse 22. And for the sides of the tabernacle, westward thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle of the 2 sides. So that's 8 total. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it into one ring. Thus shall it be for them both, they shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards will reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, both sides. So here's this 27-inch by 15-foot high shittim wood that's covered in gold. And that pictures what? The deity, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. The wood and the gold. It says the middle bar would be a solid bar running through the ends from end to end. But these here would be one running halfway and one running halfway. And then on the top, it would be one running halfway and one running halfway. So you got 5 bars total. Okay, everybody follow me on that? All right, no problem. Those bars were, I believe, shittim wood with gold, picturing also the deity of Christ. Now, let's just talk real quickly. 8, you got 20, it's the number of redemption. 8 is the number of what? The new birth, new beginnings, and 8 is the number of resurrection in your Bible. On the 8th day is the first day of a new week. 8 people were carried through the flood for a new beginning. Our Lord rose again on the 8th day. If you count all the resurrections in the Bible, minus Jesus, because he's the first fruits, think with me just for a second. There's 3 in the Old Testament, 3 in the Gospels, and 2 in the book of Acts. There's 8 total resurrections from Genesis to Revelation. Now, that once again, that's not counting the Savior's resurrection, but there's 8 people resurrected in the Bible. Okay, there's 8 resurrections. The tabernacle encamped in the middle of 8 groups. Aaron and his sons were consecrated for 7 days and began their ministry on the 8th day, and that's in Leviticus chapter 9. 8 is the number of resurrection and being born. I wish we could go cover more of this. Silver, there was in the tabernacle, the base, the foundation for this building, 5 boards at this end, 4 before the veil. There was 10,000 pounds of silver. That's 5 tons. Each socket weighing 50 pounds apiece, 2 sockets per board. Just in silver, the modern day cost of the tabernacle, if you were to build a replica of it today, there would be $47 million in gold, and there would be $2.5 million in just the silver. If you were to build an exact replica of the tabernacle today, it would be right at about, they say, if you include the linen and the coverings, it would be right at a little over $50 million. That would be the cost of doing an exact, where'd they get that gold? When they came out of Egypt, right? God allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. God allowed them to, but this is once again, all of this is a picture and a testimony of Jesus. In Exodus 30, it says it was half a shekel. Every person, where'd they get the silver from? Every person had to give half a shekel for redemption when they were numbered. That's the equivalent of $1.50 today. And it says, the rich shall give no more, and the poor shall give no more, and the rich shall give no less, and everybody gave the same thing. That was a price everybody could pay, and they had to freely give it. That was a picture, the silver, then they took it, made the sockets. Exodus chapter 30 will tell you, silver is the blood money of the Bible. The blood, atonement, redemption, money. And as far as the whole tabernacle is on a foundation of redemption. With the boards. When you walked into it, I'll try to show you a picture of it next week.